Excuse the news. This is a McGill Daily and CKUT news collaboration.
We have two guests joined with us in studio today to talk about the Indigenous Access McGill program at McGill University. Trudy Bloomstein, the student support coordinator for the program, and also Claire Stewart Kerrigan, who's an arts senator at McGill. I'd like to maybe start with you, Trudy. Could you tell us a little bit about the program?
Sure. Indigenous Access McGill is a support program for First Nations, Inuit, and Métis students at McGill in social work and the health sciences. It began in 2007. At that time, we had a grant from ARI, which is the Aboriginal Health and Human Resources section of Health Canada. It was a three-year grant, and we got a second grant in 2010 from the Counseling Foundation of Canada, which has ended at the end of September this fall. The program is basically there to help Native students from, like, the first time they think of coming to university, through the admission process and the application, and just getting a foot in the door at McGill, coming and sitting in on a couple of classes just to see what it's like, going through an orientation program with us also about what it is, what social work is all about, and what adjusting to McGill might be like. We go through the program with them as they go, you know, we check their marks, we have them come and talk to us if they're having any difficulties, we make referrals if we need to. Students support each other also as well. And right up until the time they graduate, and even after they graduate, our students like to stay in touch, and we like to hear about what they're doing as well. So we also run, my partner, Michael Loft, runs a course on Indigenous issues in social work, and also a field program, a field course in May, which has become really pretty popular. We've had students from other faculties, anthropology and law, and science students are asking about it too, but there isn't always enough room to take everyone who wants to be in this course. So we've tried to promote indigenizing the curriculum in the social work department, not just with these couple of courses, but also it's a component of every course you do. So there's an acknowledgement of the needs of Aboriginal people in their communities. Our students are going to go back to their communities, maybe about three quarters of them will. Some will work in Indigenous urban social work, but wherever they work, and sometimes they don't even work in their own communities. We have a student who had graduated a few years ago. She's actually a grandmother from Ganawage who came back to school, and she is Mohawk, but she got a block field placement in Kujawak in Nunavik. And she's now working in Cree territory. So it's that kind of mix-up that is, you know, just as valuable as people working in their own communities. They bring a different perspective, but they also bring an overall Indigenous perspective.
Was it hard to get the program started? So it's been 6 years since its founding.
Yeah, well, it's been more, actually. We're in our, seventh year, I guess, because we're still running on very little funding, but we also have dedicated funding for our field course, so that certainly helps. In terms of getting it started, I don't think it was so hard to sell because we had had a certificate program in social work prior to that. It was a First Nations and Inuit certificate program in Northern Social Work. It was canceled. And so that meant that people who were here on part-time basis taking that program now had to apply to the Bachelor of Social Work program. So at first it was recruiting. It was, you know, working with Katavik School Board, Cree School Board, and also even the education faculty because they also have a certificate program, but getting the interest out there and bringing it back to McGill. So in our first year, we had about 10 people apply, and I think 8 got in the end. 2 didn't do it in the end because they had very young families and they did not want to uproot them and bring them down south. And that is an issue, you know, for Indigenous people who want to do university training in the south, because they tend to have their kids early, so they have their family and they have to worry about. One of our Inuk students actually came down here with 8 children and her husband. He gave up his job to come down here. They gave up their home, And it took her longer to do the program than expected. And in the end, he had to go home with a couple of the smallest kids because they were losing their Inuktitut language. And there was nowhere here for them to go to school in Inuktitut in English like they could in the north. So there are a lot of sacrifices. We knew that for students coming in. And how to make this a viable program was to really stay in touch and help them integrate to the resources at McGill and really use them. And the truth is, while at first we had a lot of common sessions together and group support sessions, they don't need that as much now. They're using resources at McGill, and they're much more independent. So I'm pretty proud of that because I think it shows that people, given half a chance, will make a good adaptation and find their own way.
And yes, it seemed to be a lot of successes with the program. And I want to ask, maybe Claire, you can speak a little bit to this, is what is the support like from McGill University, or maybe lack of support?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things I ran into earlier in the year. I actually just found out on an off chance when I was talking to the Development and Alumni Relations that IAM had lost the grant. So I was talking about some other funding for the Indigenous Studies program, and I was pretty surprised that it doesn't have institutionalized university funding like a lot of the other Indigenous targeted services on campus. First People's House does rely partially on grants, but there is like a level of stable university funding. The Indigenous Education Coordinator and things like that, those have been institutionalized this year. And so yeah, I thought that was a bit strange. So I went and spoke with some people over at IAM, and I was cleared up. They've been just dependent on grants pretty much entirely for the last while, aside from the institutionalization of their course. But even the fact that they have stable funding of the course isn't the most comforting thing to the people over at IAM, because when I went over and talked with Michael Loft and Courtney, they said we do have funding for this course, but technically it's a McGill course, so we could all get fired and they could hire anybody else they wanted to teach this course. So it's not really a funding of IAM that's happening through the funding of the course, but rather just they helped create this course, and now it's here. So So that's why I raised a question at Senate regarding the possibility of maybe some even like joint funding for the program, because since the program is fairly specific to social work, although they do provide services to students from across, like Indigenous students from across the McGill community, there is a precedent of receiving some kind of faculty level support for the program. For example, right now the Faculty of Arts is providing bridge funding for the 2013-2014 academic year since the grant ran out, but the university hasn't helped out with that at all. So I was it seems as though maybe working together towards like a joint faculty university funding scheme might make sense, since it's existing under the Faculty of Social Work, but also helping out McGill students across campus. So I asked the question, and they kind of took it more as an opportunity to talk about existing services, Indigenous services on McGill, which is important. It's always good for them to get, to get more exposure. But I felt a bit frustrated that they didn't directly address the question of internal funding. However, I spoke with the provost, and I spoke with Dean Manfredi of the Faculty of Arts afterwards regarding the possibility of internal funding. And basically, the impression that I got was that if this grant that the Dean of Students gets comes through, the Dean of Students is largely in charge of the Indigenous programs on campus fall under his portfolio. So there's a grant application or a funding application that he's put forward with the provincial Ministry of Post-Secondary and Education and Technology and Research. And if that gets renewed, then usually there's a certain amount that's earmarked for Indigenous programming, but apparently they're fairly heavily earmarked. So I spoke with Dean Manfredi, and he said, well, perhaps if that comes through, if there's like a large amount of a flexible amount of funding available for Indigenous programs, maybe then I could approach the provost and maybe we could work something out. But there seems to be a reluctance to incorporate IAM into the actual faculty budget or into the university budget, along with in the way that some of the other Indigenous services on campus are institutionalized. So the only answer I felt like I was able to get was just, it's very conditional on this grant. Maybe, however, the dean did say that if another grant is not found by the next year, that he will continue bridge funding to the program. So that takes away one immediate worry, but you know, bridge funding is called bridge funding for a reason. You know, it's from my perspective, it seems as though the kind of grants you've gotten from the Counseling Foundation, a lot of them are, you know, targeted, you know, start up a program, yeah, see how it's doing, and you know, IIM has shown that it's a really successful program, it's a really great program, so it seems like it's time for the university to step up.
Yeah, the bridge funding is covering our three salaries, mm-hmm, but there is going to probably be a little bit of funding for some of the activities. We're doing a retreat next weekend, and so mm-hmm, we have some money for that, you know, but it certainly isn't going to allow us to do any new programs, mm-hmm, and any outreach, any you know, traveling and this kind of thing. You know, to travel to Nunavik can cost about $3,000 for one person, you know, mm-hmm, so in terms of recruitment or, you know, follow-up kind of courses and this kind of thing, it really means that we're stopped in our tracks.
Yeah. The principal's task force on community engagement and excellence, there are some other adjectives I'm forgetting, but there is a formalized university commitment to, you know, advancing Indigenous mm-hmm programs, making the space more welcoming and supportive for Indigenous students. So that mandate is there, and yep, IIM is something that has the capacity to grow in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we, you know, we don't work alone. We certainly have partnerships with other Indigenous organizations on campus, like First People's House, mm-hmm, you know, like the SEED, community engagement and this kind of thing. So we mm-hmm have ties with them. Our retreat is with First People's House, so we've been a part of all these resources, mm-hmm, almost since the first year that we started. So I think there's a precedent for showing that mm-hmm we need all these resources.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in terms of the students, too, it may seem small, but, you know, social work has the densest concentration of Indigenous students of any faculty or school at McGill, except for the certificate program in education. Hmm. And that's why we thought this is a good place to start, because yeah, we've got all these students in the program. And, you know, they will have an attachment to McGill. For the first time, we graduated three MSWs last year, hmm, who are Native, and they're gainfully employed, believe me, and not every single one in their own community, but they're involved in Indigenous services, you know. one works for Batcha, another one for Ganawagi. You know, they are going to give back in some way, mm-hmm, to Indigenous education and to their own communities. So, mm-hmm, you know, we feel that getting rid of a resource, which I don't think is the plan anyway. I think people are interested in keeping the resource. But, you know, not having that resource would mean that's one big opportunity lost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You're talking about if there were more funding, there'd be ways to expand the program.
Yeah.
What are some ideas for...
Well, certainly we would like to have a couple of work-study students involved in our program, and also we'd like to do a larger mentoring program and, you know, piggybacking on some of the other programs that are going on, like in law and medicine, for instance, to engage students at a younger age in Aboriginal communities so that they're already thinking that university is a possibility in grade 5 instead of waiting till the last year of high school. So there are things like that. We would like our students, we would like to get into a project of access to English services in Quebec, and some of our students can do block field placements in the north. So that's something that's kind of on the table for discussion at the moment. There's so many opportunities out there. Also support groups. You know, making sure that we have good contact with other communities, like have them come and visit McGill and meet our students and get together with them and talk about what it's like to be a student here at McGill and University and in social work or nursing or whichever health science you come from. But having that experience, because a lot of Aboriginal communities, they're experiential learners. They like to be hands-on, and we would like to introduce them before they ever get here so that they could start thinking about how they could fit in what they would like to pursue, you know, for education. And it actually is a very fast-growing demographic, too, that people between 15 and 21 represent a large demographic in Native society, and they're going back to school in much bigger numbers, and that is a fact.
Yeah, I understand that Concordia has quite a large infrastructure. They have you can study Aboriginal studies and things like that, and that's not something that we've achieved yet at McGill. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what do you both think about Indigenous representation at the university? Like you said, it's the largest in education and social work,
mm-hmm,
but what do you think about the numbers now, and how can we improve that?
Well, the numbers at McGill have remained fairly low, at least among faculty and staff. The university does release reports about how many Indigenous people there are working at the university. The numbers have actually gone down over the last 5 years or so since they've put in place this equity plan, which the equity plan is basically to track it over time, but they haven't come out with any kind of solution to deal with these numbers that are going down. Also, the enrollment services actually I forget if it was enrollment services or admissions services, something like that. They just released a report about from which nationality students are coming from primarily, mm-hmm. but there are no Indigenous nationalities recorded there, not even mm-hmm. Indigenous, like any First Nations, Métis, which there is like a place on the application to self-identify if you want. So I've asked them to release that information, but it hasn't been made publicly available yet, which is a strange thing. But hopefully by pushing for that can set a precedent for actually having that information available.
The other thing is that McGill does plan to have an Indigenous Studies program. And certainly the two courses that we give could be part of that, you know, as well. So, and it's something that's going to be coordinated by Canadian Studies. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, there's progress in understanding that it's an integral part of our education as Canadians mm-hmm. to know about Indigenous history and Indigenous culture and, you know, Indigenous education in general. So, and I think that McGill does have a commitment to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're a little slower in developing it, but we've got it in nooks and crannies mm-hmm. of different departments. The thing is to bring it all together and to bring the resources for Native students together a little bit better too, you know. Who knows? I mean, one day it might be under one roof. That would be fine with us, as long as student success and sustainability of, you know, community resources is something that we keep our eye on.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, especially with the Indigenous Studies minor, which should be starting mm-hmm. up by next fall, you know, this is going to be a big year for advancing, you know, Indigenous presence on mm-hmm. campus and everything. So as far as I am goes, it seems like it would be a coherent part of mm-hmm. that whole process to if the university wanted to step up. But no, I am really glad about the Indigenous Studies minor coming through. I think that's a really important step. There's some places, you know, like Trent has had Native Studies department since like 1971 or something like that. So there's we got a bit of catching up to do. But no, it's definitely a good step. And there are three new courses that are going to be created under the Indigenous Studies minor. Next semester, there's going to be a foundation course and another middle-level course, as well as a seminar. However, it's worthy of noting that the university has not funded those courses. It's been philanthropic donors that have allowed those courses to go through. So we've had to kind of search outside of the university to get get financial support to get that going. Hopefully they'll step up in the future, but for right now, yeah, that has been a lot of work that's been done at the MISC by folks like Will Straw and things, searching mm-hmm. out grants to get that going. So
actually, he's really been terrific.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know, I think the other thing that we're hoping comes out of this too is that, you know, students need models. Mm-hmm. And they need Indigenous students need Indigenous models. We mm-hmm. don't have any. Mike is a professor in the School of Social Work, but we as you say, we've lost people. Mm-hmm. And so hiring practices at McGill need to be looked at as well mm-hmm. as attracting students of different, you know, very diverse backgrounds.
Yeah, that's something I asked about at Senate a while ago, again, in regards to the equity report. You know, I said, you know, you've got these numbers. You have what kind of steps are you willing to take to increase the number of people here? And they kind of, whenever those questions come up, they kind of interpret it as you're asking us to lower our standards or something like that. And so no. So it seems like that's going to be a tough one to mm-hmm. to crack with the hiring practices. Will Straw and I earlier this year, we were having some conversations about with the new Indigenous Studies minor trying to start up an endowment professorship in Indigenous media mm-hmm. because that's something we've had kind of topics in classes at McGill, but you know, a lot of the classes available at McGill are kind of these historicizing classes in more anthropology mm-hmm. history or something like that. But that's a kind of a project we were working on earlier this year, trying to set up an endowed professorship that would target recent Indigenous you know, PhD grads to come teach at McGill on like a rotating basis or something, to provide that kind of kind of mentorship, that kind of representation.
Well, IM also has its first PhD student. And I'm curious to see, because we would like to attract more postgraduate mm-hmm. students to the social work program and to other other programs as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what McGill does if, you know, we do attract more people who will be looking for hires. And, you know, I think the time has come to know that there's a huge continuum of people, of Aboriginal people, who will be involved in universities in many, many different ways. And, you know, students, teaching, but also administration.
Yeah, that's true.
Talking about the classes that will be offered next year, they seem really interesting. And are there other classes that you would like to see offered or that think that could be really useful at the university level for not just Indigenous students, but really like anyone?
That was something I was talking with Mike Lofton and Courtney about the other week. I was talking about Indigenous language courses that exist in other schools. Like, for example, over at Concordia, I know that you can take Cree at Concordia. I believe you can take Inuktitut as well. Maybe I'm wrong about the Inuktitut, I'm not sure, but there. I was asking, you know, is that something you guys would be interested in working with? But, you know, especially for social work students or something, people who are going to be in, you know, the health practices, who are going to be working directly with Indigenous students, having those language courses would be excellent, I think.
So. In the past, I think they were offered by the school boards, like Cree School Board and Katavik School Board, but they didn't get enough students to put forth a course. So that really does have to be worked on, and for sure. And we have a diversity of languages. I mean, even among the students we have now, we have Mi'kmaq students, we have Mohawk students, Ojibwe, you know, Inuk. It's quite a variety right there. But a good start would be home territory language like Mohawk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I actually saw that you can get Mohawk on Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So maybe if it's on Rosetta Stone, our university can offer it too. We're coming to the end of the panel today. Is there any final remarks that you'd like to talk about or add that we didn't get to?
I guess that I would like to say that we really are grateful to McGill for hosting this program. There's no doubt about it. And we've gotten a lot of cooperation from the professors, from, you know, other resources at McGill, and that's been really encouraging as well to us and to our students, too, because I think our students finally do feel part of McGill, and that wasn't so clear at the beginning. Some of them were scared to come in the gates, and I don't think they're scared to come in the gates any longer. And I think that's really important, that now, you know, university education is felt to be the norm for everyone.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, you know, Indigenous Access McGill is pushing for this as far as from the student level perspective. Pushing for Indigenous Access McGill is kind of part of a broader project of, you know, working for more like indigenizing the academy type of things. Like, I know, like the subcommittee on equity for First Peoples, there are a lot of projects coming forward about you know, moving the Hochelaga Rock into a more visible place and getting traditional territory acknowledged at things like convocation and stuff. And these are projects that there's a lot of you know, they're being pushed for by, you know, Indigenous communities at McGill, and they are receiving a lot of support among like the student associations and everything. So for example, you know, AOS has passed a couple motions, and I'm going to be bringing a few forward to SMU regarding these similar things. So I think it's really great to see this kind of cooperation from, you know, the Indigenous services and communities on campus, as well as students getting together to support them and work together.